Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, also broadcast on the eSETI Stargate channel on YouTube. So it's a simulcast, and it's live, and you can interact on the eSETI Stargate channel in the chat room. So be sure and check that out. We've got some housekeeping. I know there's a lot of shifts going on right now. We're having major solar activity and other energy shifts and, you know, full moons and crazy things happening the past few days. I've been a little crazy, but Mercury is going direct, so it'll be a little easier to handle here pretty soon, so just hang in there. There's some upcoming events. We've got August 20th, actually it's August 14th through the 20th. We have a yoga, art, and music gathering here at eSETI, and be sure and go to the eSETI.org website and check that out. It's going to be awesome. I'll also be doing some talks and sky watches and talk about the ancient origins, the Ayurvedic connections, all that stuff, you know. So be sure and come to the ranch and check that out. It's going to be an amazing event. Anyway, that's August 14th through August 20th. And I know the women involved in that, they're awesome. They're very powerful women. So that saying, we also have Dimensions of Disclosure and August 23rd through the 25th. And October 19th, we've got the UFO cruise coming up. There's so many things coming up on the schedule. We've got some remote viewing coming up in September, another with John Pavanko remote viewing workshop. And also I'll be doing an ambassador training, self-mastery and ambassador training, and that's in September. So everything is going to be up on the work on the website here pretty quick. And be sure and check it out, eSETI.org, and go to the events section, and everything will be up there. With that being said, I think I've covered most everything, getting rid of the house cleaning, and we've got an amazing guest tonight. We've got Corey Good, and we'll both be at the Dimensions and Disclosure, along with the, there's such a list there. I don't have the list with me, but just go to, you know, Dimensions of Disclosure website and check that out, and everything there. It's the 23rd through the 25th, and I'm trying to think of what else. I think I've covered everything here. But anyway, we're going to bring Corey Good on as soon as his bio comes up. We're having a little computer problem here, but I'm straightening it out as we speak. Great, we've got it. So anyway, got his bio here. He's identified as an intuitive empath. He was recruited through one of the MyLab programs at the age of 6. MyLab is a term coined for military abduction of a person that indoctrinates and trains them for a number of military black ops programs. He trained and served with the MyLab programs from 1976 to 86, 87. Towards the end of his time at MyLab, he was assigned to fill in as an IE support role for rotating Earth delegate seat shared by secret Earth government groups in the human-type ET Super Federation Council. His abilities played an important role in communicating and interfacing with non-terrestrial beings as part of the Secret Space Program's SSP. During his 20-year service, he had a variety of experience and assignments, including intruder intercept interrogation program assignment to the AESSR, Auxiliary Specialized Space Research, the SRV, interstellar class vessel, and much more. This all occurred back in the 20 and back agreement from 1986 to 2007, with recall work continuing up to the present day. He now works in the information technology and communications industry with 20 years experience in hardware and software virtualization, physical and IT security, counter electronic surveillance, risk assessment, and executive protection, and served in the Texas Army State Guard from 2007-2012, C41 command control communications, computation and intelligence. The time in the Texas Military Forces was unrelated to the Secret Space Program service, and he continues with his IE work and now remains in direct physical contact with the Blue Avians of the Blue Sphere Alliance, who has chosen him as a delegate to interface with multiple ET federations and councils on their behalf, liaison with the SSP Alliance Council, and deliver important messages to humanity. So without any further ado, we're going to bring Corey on the show. Corey, are you with us?
I am.
Hey, welcome to the show. And it was awesome having you up here for the conference. I know everybody loved your talk and the information that you shared, and you know, some of the information to me was amazing, because it kind of dovetailed on the work that we're doing here, the information. But I like the one part, I can't recall them, temporal wars that are going on. And we were calling them interdimensional wars. We had a different name for them, you know, including time travel and different, you know, trying to control different realities and different timelines. And I mean, that's a whole show in itself. But I know you've got a lot of things coming up. You've got your graphic novel due out in early fall. You've got The Cosmic Secret due out in November. The Cosmic Secret DoD panel and sneak peek. And DoD is the new event that brings the consciousness and contact aspects together. So you've got cyber stalking, infiltration, ufology. That's a good one. Reference Jordan Peterson's presentation from Contact in the Desert. I hope that's out now. And I mean, there's so many things about health and ascension on here, so many subjects. But I want to get into one of the first things I want to get into, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the infiltration, you know, the planned opposition, you know, and all that stuff in ufology, the government chills, I don't know if you're running into this as much as we are. I'm sure you are, but I've never seen anything get so crazy as far as controlling the narrative. I'd love to get your comments on that.
Yeah, I've talked to a number of people that have been researchers in ufology for decades, and none of them have ever seen anything like this. Some of them chalk it up to narcissism and social media, but after they looked deeper, they couldn't deny that it was coordinated. You know, we have, you know, the disclosure movement was created by these deep state Rockefellers. It was a way to infiltrate ufology and to control the narrative by bringing in, you know, all of these, you know, experts that are revered and have them, you know, toe the line. So, you know, people like us who come along and we're bringing the spiritual aspects and balancing that with the nuts and bolts aspects, you know, to bring information together, that I think it freaks them out. But I've had a major cyber stalking campaign going on against me since like 2015 by a handful of individuals. It's kind of a well-known kind of cyber stalking group online. And we've had some of the professionals that are, we have the Rockefeller infiltration, but we also have corporations that are coming in. And, you know, they're controlling the narrative. And a lot of these corporations, you know, it's business for them. And some of them may have nefarious motives or may not. But it's the fact that the narrative of disclosure is being controlled. And I think it's up to all of us to, you know, fight to break through the control of the narrative.
Yeah, it seems. It does. Yeah, I thought it was just some narcissism program, too, and people just trying to make a name for themselves, you know, at the expense of others and you know, just jealousy and things like that. At first, that's what I thought. But then I started seeing, wait a second, there's a systematic plan here. The guys that should be, you know, at the head of the game are, and they've been installed, and they have the pulpit, basically. They're on all the talk shows. They're on all the news things and everything else. And when you look at their background, you find out that they are being sponsored by the Rockefellers. And, you know, you'll see the, you know, Clintons and the Podestas and all these other names pop up, you know, as far as major donors are playing a major role, as well as some of these MILAB people that are known, you know. For a lot of people actually disappearing and meeting, you know, deadly force, basically being met with deadly force, if not other things. It's the same characters. They're all popping up. They all seem to be the same group. And what I find is that, and I tell people, you've got to do the research. You got to follow the money, and you got to look at the associations.
Absolutely. Yeah, it finally has gotten to a point to where some of these characters stepped over the line legally, and we have reported to law enforcement a number of individuals. We have testimony on how they all tie together into a nice little bow, and that's going to really break more next week, but that's something that we're working on in the background. I can't talk a whole lot about, but, you know, one of these individuals, called the Bar Association on in their state, and, the people that we talked to, my attorneys talked to, were pretty shocked that someone would do this on video with a law degree. We've got, things like that going on. We've got some civil action going on, a number of people who have put out defamation. And in the coming weeks, we'll probably be dropping more legal action on people. So I've got a team of like four attorneys right now that are focused on this. It's something that my team's been working on for the last 6 weeks, getting together all the testimony, evidence, and getting it to law enforcement, putting it, arranging it so, law enforcement could digest it better and all of that. So we have all of that under control, and hopefully some of this over-the-top cyber stalking of us and others in the community can be stopped, by certain people fighting back.
Yeah, I think it's important right now for long. I mean, I was even watching people like Hannity and people like that are getting just hammered, and they said enough's enough. Now we're going to punch back, and I think they need to. And I've always just ignored it. I just don't let it interfere in my work. I just keep going forward and just keeping putting my energies towards bringing out more evidence and getting more footage and doing the healing work here and the other stuff. But now it's gotten epidemic, and it's at a point now where we are going to have to address it. And we probably will do the same thing. We've got some pretty amazing people that are coming on board that are going to start, doing the same thing, sending some letters out and some other things, like cease and desist orders and things like that with these people, because, it's all rumors. It's slanderous assumptions. And when they make these statements out there, you can track down to the origin of these statements, and they always have no merit. They come from a false origin. They're just, a couple people. And in our case, it's usually a couple people with an axe to grind, people that we've had to toss off the ranch due to misuse of drug. And, we have a no drug, no alcohol policy here. And they totally abuse that and let other energies come in. And it got so bad, we had to just toss them off the ranch. But it goes back to the same group basically. And then they start spreading rumors, and then other people in the UFO community go, oh, look, here's the door. I can take him down with this one, and they jump on it too.
Yeah. Well, that's they've been escalating things. That's the problem. It's not like it's just a normal cyber, normal attacks or people that think we're liars. It's gotten to a point to where, one individual tried to frame me for felony doxing and other things, got pretty much busted for doing it online. And, it's gotten to that level. And what happens next? What happens after you try to defame someone, destroy their character, their brand, blacklist them from the community? It keeps ratcheting up. What happens next? When does it become violent? So that this is what has kind of forced our hand in bringing in the various law enforcement from different states, as well as one of my new attorneys is like one of the biggest IP attorneys in Hollywood, and it's he's coming in to help get this taken care of. So we're going at this after this aggressively now. Some of this stuff, some of the attorneys have actually, mentioned, that this could fall under RICO kind of statutes. It's gotten so bad. Mm-hmm. So, we've just got to, my motto has always been Zen ends where butt kicking begins. So I guess that's where we are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's unfortunate you have to go there. I mean, we could be spending our time on much more enjoyable work, but you have to deal with it. And, you know, we're having people, going on the network, telling people to crash our gate and do all this other stuff. And they've tried, you know, we had that happen. Luckily we have some pretty good security here and everybody's on board. And, you know, I'm getting death threats and things like that, all on these baseless rumors. And I'm just going, and it's totally opposite. It's so funny. They're, you know, all my life, this is really interesting. All my life, I've totally supported the divine feminine, getting that the more spiritual side out, especially with UFOs and things like that. And now they're accusing me of everything from being a predator to a child molester to, you know, and I've been exposing the whole pedophile network, the satanic, you know, ceremony stuff, everything, you know. It's like, and bringing people on my show that
look at the people accusing you. Look at the people accusing you and the things that they've said.
Yeah.
The video I'm about to release, where they a lot of them admit to being Satanists. No, they are accusing you of that, what they do.
Exactly. And I'm going, boy, this is like five fingers pointing back with one finger going forward, you know, if there were five fingers. But it's so bad. I go, God, the very people that are saying this stuff are the very people that are, you know, dancing at Bohemian Grove right along with the others. So, to be fair,
some of these people are mentally ill. There's some mental illness going on that we need to have compassion for. But at the same time, we can't put up with the criminality associated to them not being able to control their mental condition.
Yeah, I agree. It's pathological, and the stuff that's going on. I mean, even to be a part of that nonsense shows that they're not in their right mind. But then the stuff that they're doing on top of that. But it's so interesting. I go, my God, this stuff, the greatest accusers, and I'm seeing that in everything right now. The people that are screaming the loudest and making the most accusations are the ones with the most to hide, and they're the ones that are doing exactly what they're accusing others of. And that's just the way it seems to be unfolding right now.
Yeah, it's this end time madness. So the increase in these cosmic energies coming in are affecting, you know, it's affecting everyone. We're all feeling it. But some of the people that are having problems with mental illness and also personality disorders are really having a hard time.
Oh, yeah. You know, and to me, it's like, you know, people go, oh, you're this and you're that and you're, and I just said, well, I'm all for just cleaning up the deep state. Whoever's doing that, I'm behind them, you know.
Right.
And I said, that's what I'm about. It's all about consciousness. It's all about, you know, planetary liberation and freedom and getting back to our God-given rights. And that's what I'm focused on. And whoever's aligned with that, you know, that's who I'm going to be supporting and working with. I said, it's that simple, but
yeah,
that seems to be a threat, you know, to some groups.
You know, some people may not like this statement, but seeing all the fake news, the baseless attacks, the being called all of these horrible names, being trying to be framed, don't you feel like, I mean, I'm starting to get a little bit of an idea of what Trump might feel like?
You know what? It's funny you said that, because I even said that to somebody. I go, I'm feeling a lot like Trump right now.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm feeling like Trump and you know, the Supreme Court guys and everything else going on. I said, when does this stuff end?
Yeah.
But I think it's going to implode on itself. Energetically, it's not frequency specific to, you know, the ascension process and where the earth's going. So, but, you know, you do have to deal with it, and especially it can do a lot of damage on its way out.
Absolutely. It has done a lot of damage. A lot of these lies really stuck, you know, because a lot of people in this community, they're into conspiracies, and a lot of them think, there's smoke, there must be fire. And if you have somebody gaslighting the situation and blowing smoke, then, you know, it causes a lot of, you know, people to question.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we need to look into the people making the accusations. Like, now it's shifting to investigate the investigators.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where everything, on a big, on our level too, it's happening as well. We need to investigate the people that are making the accusations. and look at their backgrounds and their ties and where they're getting their money from, and what kind of organizations they belong to. You know, do they belong to these satanic, you know, child sacrificing organizations? What's, you know, what are their associations? You know, what are they connected to? You know,
all of that is definitely being looked into by you know, police and other people. The connections that it's amazing if this ever does go to court, you know, and discovery occurs. I mean, it's just amazing, crazy behavior.
I agree.
Unbelievable.
I mean, one of the things, it's gotten so ridiculous that they were saying I was the head of a Russian bestiality ring.
You do love animals.
There's the Russian. There's the Russian tie right there. You know. Okay, now I'm working with the Russians. You know, and bestiality. You know. And I said, well, I've never been to Russia, and I'm not even sure what a bestiality ring is or does. I've heard rumors about it, but show me my passport where I've gone to Russia. And I would love to go to Russia. I've just never been there. I'd love to check it out someday. But anyway, it's so ridiculous. It's almost laughable if it wasn't for crazy people that believe in it and then come after you.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's it. I'm just like shaking my head and just every time I think about it and how ridiculous it is and what a life of its own it's become, you know, it's just mind blowing. I'm hopefully it'll be over here pretty soon with what all's being done.
Yeah, I think it's going to. It's all going to be made known for what it is. And I think with all these energies coming in, the people that were kind of crazy are just going, you know, batshit crazy, basically. Yeah. And it's
super mystic that the D-class stuff is starting to happen just at the same time that this lower level deep state infiltration of ufology is about, you know, to be dealt with and exposed. And, and we have the possibility of more and more disclosures coming out, you know, under the guise of Space Force. And, you know, mm-hmm. there were I heard from Alliance connections that Trump, soon after being sworn in, signed an executive order, a secret executive order, to ask the Department of Energy to declassify all of these different patents. So I really think that not only are we going to see the collapse of the deep state, but we're going to see a lot of really cool stuff come out as well.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I know people that have actually signed agreements on very high levels that have everything. I mean, they've got anti-gravity, counter-gravity. They've got, they can turn water into fuel.
Yeah.
They have all that technology, you know, zero point energy, and it's all ready to go. It's just waiting for that tipping point, you know, to.
Yeah. And you have to sign the CDA just to see the stuff.
Yeah. I've held it. I mean, I've held the stuff in my hand, so I know it exists. It's not just rumors and talk, but anyway, it's all going to be coming out soon. What I wanted to talk about too is that I'm really curious about the secret space fleet, and there was some things that happened when I was a small kid in the desert, and Otis Carr and Ralph Ring and those guys were building a saucer, and the FBI came in and just took everything and shut them down because it was also free energy as well. And I saw that, and I saw that thing fly, and it flew over us, and it was pretty interesting. It really raised a big ruckus there with the town, and everybody got in their jeeps and drove up to where they landed, up in they call it the Rattlesnake Mountains up there. But that and the fact that we've seen UFOs all of our life, you know, as kids, you know, raised in the high desert, we would see things. We have a family history with UFOs as well. My dad was very connected to him, and he'd pull over the road and say, look, you know, we'd get out of the car, we'd look up, and there'd be five UFOs, you know, following the car, things like that. But he didn't talk about it. You know, he kind of kept it quiet. You know, he came from New Mexico, too, as well. So he had, you know, ships landing on the highway and blocking the road and stuff in front of him, things like that. But there's a long history of that. But what I found out through my contacts and other people is that, you know, we could go to the moon and Mars in the late 60s. We had that technology. Does that correspond with the information that you've got?
Yes. Actually, they they were flying recovered vehicles from the Nazis and ET craft in actually the 50s. They really didn't build out the infrastructure to be able to build out an actual space fleet until the late 60s and 70s. And then they brought in the SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, to where they were able to funnel a lot more money in. They started bringing in money from the drug trade. That's why, you know, the CIA and other groups are heavily vested in the drug trade to fund and finance having a larger space fleet. And then they also went to all of the other countries and had them give a certain percentage of their gross domestic product to create a preservation of species type of program that each of them would be able to not only put a certain percentage of their population underground, but in other star systems to preserve their genetics, because there was a solar cycle, a destructive solar cycle that the secret space program discovered and verified in the 50s and 60s by finding remnants of this glass that came from the sun when it exploded on the back of the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's you know, my thing about that, I'm really wondering now, I know NASA, and we grabbed these screenshots of these massive ships sitting between us and the sun. And when the sun did a kill shot in the past, these ships would expand their fields and actually take the hit.
Yeah.
And from my understanding is, if they weren't there, we would be back in the dark ages. We wouldn't be talking right now, because of all of our phones would be down and ATMs would be down and gas wouldn't pump. And, you know, if that was allowed to happen. So they have intervened before. I'm wondering, in the future, you know, there's so many different possibilities. We could shift to another timeline, or we could actually get some more divine intervention. I'm wondering what you guys are seeing for that.
Well, you know, along the lines you were saying about ships preventing solar flares, the Blue Avians told me that all the spheres that were in our solar system for so long, from at least the 30s up until, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, or recently when they left, was that they were acting as a giant mechanism to attenuate the energies coming from the sun and to prevent it from going supernova or mini nova, I'm sorry, in, I think they call it a micronova, in around the 2012 time period. And that was prevented because our consciousness was not prepared and not ready. And the so-called harvest was going to be very small, you know, and it was going to be, you know, and like I talked about at your ranch, these higher beings are connected to us and they need us to ascend or expand in consciousness so they can go further up the ladder and return to the one.
Yeah. Yeah, they seems like there's been a major intervention, and you know, people ask me, well, what are they going to do in the future? And I said, I think that's up to us. You know, if we can get our act together and clean up our consciousness and start being kind to each other and the planet, we'd be a civilization worth preserving, and they would probably step in and help us out again. But
well, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Why do you think they mind control us and control our civilization through all of this programming? It's because we do have the power to control the timeline, and our consciousness has an interaction with our star, and everything's connected. So they understand what our power is, and they have to keep us ignorant of it. That's what this whole thing's about. And they use their magic to trick us into using our power against ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Edgar Cayce talked about this, and they've actually gone out in space and filmed these giant, like, magnetic portals going directly from the sun to the earth. And and they know all the suns are connected through these portals, or whatever you call them. So there's everything is connected. And I don't know if you saw my presentation. I have a photograph of the sun where it looks like winged being is inside the sun, perfect, you know, anatomically correct. You see his eyes, his nose, his mouth, and this energy coming from behind him. And it's just like Apollo or one of these other sun gods, you know, one of these Greek gods. And, you know, I look at that and then I see the connection between the earth and the consciousness connection between that and these beings that are non-physical. So they're not going to burn up because they're non-physical beings. And, you know, you put that all together and, you know, there is a direct link between the sun, humanity, and the higher dimensional beings. And if we keep sending garbage, you know, their way, they're probably going to react to it because they got to clean it up.
Yeah, true.
You know, but yeah, it's you know, you got to look at this thing from multi dimensions because it'll drive you nuts if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, it'll drive you nuts if you do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's such a multi-layered. I mean, people are just now, you know, you'd ask people about the mechanics of our solar system, and many people out there are ignorant of it. When you start talking about temporal physics and all of these different principles about a plasma universe and how, you know, this classical universe theory is completely wrong, you know, it's just, you know, that's a big leap.
Yeah, but, you know, all the scientists, the great minds in the past all talk about, you know, our physical reality is not physical.
Right.
You know, it's in its unlimited form, it's just condensed consciousness, you know, yep. Which goes from consciousness to light to energy to mass. But, you know, we are so trapped in the physical, and most people are running around thinking they're a body and a personality, and then you got all the mind controlling that personality and, you know, and the fake news, and they're all caught up in that, you know, and the separation division game that's going on. It's a real mess down here. And I think that's going to be exposed and cleaned up here. And I think it's going to happen pretty quickly.
Yeah. You made me think a conversation I had with Ari, the inner earth priestess. She said that their culture pretty much considers even the best of us here on this surface of the earth here in our current conscious density, they consider us pretty much, you know, we're like mentally ill. We all have these crazy personality disorders. We all have all these insecurities and unresolved traumas that drive us. You know, it's, I'm sure from their perspective, it is, I don't know. it's gotta be pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know, I asked Legie. She's a seventh dimensional plating actually, and she's coming back from 2 million years in our future to assist us now. And I asked her, I go, you must see us like monkeys, you know? And she said, no, not exactly. She said, we just see you as you're evolving, and we used to be just like our ancient history, and we understand that, and we know you're connected. You have the potential to connect to the source and allow source to come through you. And she said, but we just kind of practice loving amusement, you know, when we see all the follies that you get into and how much you forget, you know, your divine origins and your heritage. But there was no judgment there when I was talking to her. And then I asked her too, I said, well, what would happen if her and I connected, you know, if we were to, now, I was really curious from that what would happen, and she just goes, she said, your culture is so, it's so limited, and you have so many programs that you're running, and a lot of it is, you know, jealousy and ownership and control and all those programs that we're running, and plus they're totally telepathic, you know. She just said, you know, it doesn't work. And they're only working with people that rise to the occasion, that are really doing their inner work and clearing all their wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience and rising in frequency and on a deep spiritual path. And that means transcending all cultural, all religious diversity, you know, getting beyond all that into unity consciousness. And those are the people they're looking for and want to work with. But But like you're saying, that it's energetically really rough for them to hang out with us just because of our frequencies and what we're transmitting, you know.
Yeah, and the light attracts a lot of moths.
Yeah, exactly. So I know most people would look at that, you know, and they go, well, I can't screw it. I can't steal their technology. What good is it? You know, unfortunately, that is a lot of the mindset out there, you know. So,
yeah.
And, you know, we got to go beyond that, you know, and rise to the occasion if we are going to have contact.
Yeah. I think we really have no choice but to deal with all of those things you mentioned, like I've said, especially when we do start getting the contact and when we start seeing these beings and we see that most of them are very human like us, but guess what? They're not all like 6 or 8 foot tall, Caucasian, blue-eyed, blonde-haired beings. Most of them are beings of color and look like they've been like different races of mixture of races or races that we've never met, you know, seen. That's going to be a big shock because many people, because of the media, they expect these, what they consider, you know, white angels to come out and shake their hand when it's actually going to be possibly someone that looks very much like someone that they used to hate for no other reason than the color of their skin.
I know that's, you know, definitely happening here. I mean, I have a photograph of these beings that they look just like E.T., like the movie, basically. And they're wearing robes and they have orbs all around them. And they appeared with all these plasma fields around them in the field here. And I asked them, you know, who they were. And, you know, most people would run. They would freak out and run if they saw something like that. And that's one thing we have to do is master our fear and our judgment around things that look different. But these beings, when I connected with them, they said that we teach your masters. We're the ancient ones. We've been around forever. And the wisdom and the love coming from these beings was just off the scale. And I've seen fuzzy little furry guys wearing robes, you know, that you wouldn't think were very powerful. And once you focus on them and you feel their energy, you know, they give you a headache. They're so intense, you know, I saw one guy, small little guy in robes, and he had 2 8-foot giants on each side of him, and he was the guy in charge. You know, he was the master, you might say. And when I looked at him, I said, "Oh, what a cute little guy!" And oh boy, he sent a thought form to me that gave me a headache. You know that? And I said, "Oh, I get it. You're in charge. You know, you're the guy in charge." So we have to get beyond the outer appearances and size and everything, and learn to develop our own inner sensitivity so we can actually sense the intentions of these beings and sense their nature, you know, what are they about, why are they here, and things like that, to really have contact and be open to what's the big story.
Yeah, I really agree.
Yeah, what are some of the beings that you, I know you've had all kinds of encounters out there that you can remember? What are the different types of beings so far that you've experienced?
Well, when I was in the programs, when I was first brought into the secret space program, the current captain of the vessel I was being assigned to didn't want any more of these new, 17-year-old kids coming on and crying and having all these issues. So he said, had me reassigned. They reassigned me to this group that was similar to Men in Black. When ETs would come in, if they would crash, be shot down, or infiltrate our society, and we found them, these groups would go in, remove the ETs and their technology, bring the ETs to a detention center where they're interrogated. And it was called the Intruder Intercept and Interrogation Program. And I was in that for nearly a year. And I saw all types of different ETs, aquatics to... And many of them would just look just like us. And sometimes we would get a reptilian type that wasn't a Draco, but the Draco have an agreement with us. They want to control every reptilian type
group in the galaxy, pretty much. And some of these groups come here scouting, looking for intel or, allies to fight against the Draco. And they're not evil, they're just fighting the Draco. And we've caught, some of them were caught. There were insectoids. Also, there was this one being that I talked about, I think, at your conference, that they had pulled it out of a building in Manhattan. It was like an executive. It had been blending in, and it wasn't even a humanoid. It was humanoid. It wasn't even human. It was an insectoid being, and it was using its abilities. It wasn't technology. It was its own abilities to control what everyone saw around them. It could even affect technology.
That's pretty. Sounds like Men in Black all over again.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. And so I was in that for a while, and then my ET contact broke off quite a bit because I was I had it periodically, but I was serving. I was assigned to the research vessel. I didn't always serve there. And after it was pretty much after I was out of everything, out of the 20 and backs, I was rarely contacted at all by anyone in the programs, and I think they were monitoring me just because my memories were coming back. I hadn't had any real ET contact until the Blue Avians, came to me in a dream. And it was one of those dreams that was not a dream. It was very real, and it freaked me out. And, I walked the neighborhood looking around for technology or anything, any vehicles that were out of place. I thought, somebody's screwing with my head, because, that was, back when I was involved in the programs, we saw technology that, could do similar things. So over time, they started coming to me more and more in dreams, and then appeared to me physically, and started bringing me to different locations physically with them. And then soon after that, I started being in contact again with more of lower density type beings like the Anshar and a number of other beings from this Galactic Federation, and our 52 local star cluster. We have all of our cosmic cousins that are waiting to be in contact with us once we go through this process. It's been quite a bit of ET contact, but it was, most of it was what we would call, third, fourth, maybe fifth density type beings that were, mostly physical. There were some of these beings that had abilities that were hard to explain, but it wasn't until I was contacted by the Blue Avians that I was being introduced to these very high density, high consciousness beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had so much of that here, and it's been very well documented. And with the even some of the known ascended masters, which I'm open to, it could be a hologram or a projection or anything else. But the problem with that is the energy exchange. When these beings appear to you and you feel that just pure love and joy and bliss, and their message is always empowering, it's always uplifting, which is what I go by. But people go, oh, that's a hologram. And I said, well, it's a good one if they can project a hologram through a metal building. I mean, that's, without any devices on the inside, I think that's a pretty damn good trick, which I wouldn't be surprised if the higher dimensional beings could do that. I'm sure they could do whatever they want. But, with the beings, like we've had Mary appear here, Kuan Yin, Baba G, and other beings that we're getting photographs, actual photographs of them appearing by...
Saw some of those.
By monks, monks that come here that do 21-day dark retreats and things like that with just water, and they can see the other dimensions, and they come here with their little iPhone or their camera in their pocket and get these pictures of these beings appearing here on a regular basis.
That's cool. I tell you, I had a good time at your ranch, but I tell you, I think I mentioned this to you, I was shocked that it had not been taken over by the military like other places like that around the world.
Yeah. They've tried, believe me. I've talked to colonels and things like that, and I think that the depth of energy here, the higher beings involved and things like that, I think some of them are afraid of it. You know, they go, well, that's out of my pay grade. You know, I don't want to go over there.
No, there was an amazing amount of activity when I was there. I was very, very pleased to see that much activity.
Yeah. And also too, I know the higher dimensional beings are watching over this place, but what I found is that there's a lot of white hats in very high positions that are fully aware of what's happening here. And they understand, you know, why this needs to continue, why it needs to be preserved. And, you know, they have a pretty good idea about the bigger picture. So I think they're keeping an eye on things. And you know, I have some friends in some extremely high places that are contacting me that are having appearances of Kuan Yin and masters appearing to them saying, you know, we need to go to the next level. This is what's going on and things like that. So there's a multidimensional event that's being orchestrated here. And I think that's the only reason we're still here.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's, I mean, it has to be something like that because, places like that, all of the energy, you know, contained in that mountain, all of the energy that these interdimensional beings are using to manifest and to manipulate, you know, the environment around us, that's energy that these other dark forces usually like to either contain or, you know, use for their own needs. And that, it's just, it's pretty amazing that you have all of the freedoms that you do around a place like that.
Well, we've had our challenges, you know, and we are constantly having to remove certain beings and entities and things like that. And they actually jump into people who have kind of weaker minds or have a lot of serious issues they haven't processed. They'll use those issues and jump in and create a lot of division here and things like that. So we really stay on top of the energy. And, you know, it's all about maintaining a frequency and a vibration. And if people don't want to heal, you know, they're invited to leave. And some people, when they do leave, they project and blame versus taking a good look at you know, what they created, you know, with that situation.
You know, when the first night I arrived, I felt drunk because of the energy there. It's kind of, that happened to me in Sedona. You know, they tell you not to go hiking really, you know, too aggressively because people get dizzy and fall off the mountain in Sedona. And when I felt, it was a very similar energy, and I felt like it was kind of a drunk feeling I felt for, you know, 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty common for people to have that drunk feeling here. I noticed some people who are extremely resistant to the energy will just get really tired and fall asleep. And some people get really amped up. And if you have a lot of anger, that gets agitated too. But it's just an amplifier. It amplifies everything. And when we have a lot of resistance, it really makes us tired and things like that. But the drunk energy is just that high. It's almost like you're saying, you're drunk or drugged, but it's the energy so high here, your crown is just going off and everybody gets kind of giddy and, you know, feeling the energy.
Yeah, you don't need drugs on your ranch.
No, that's why I tell people we have a drug-free policy because you don't need them. I mean, you're pretty much walking around like you're high anyway.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime. You know, anytime you're coming through the neighborhood, drop on by.
I want to bring my kids. I want to bring my kids up there to let them get a good look at all of the things that I saw. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, the kids love it here. I noticed the kids here, the animals, you know, it's so funny here. The deer walk right up to you here. We have birds landing on us here all the time. It's pretty crazy. They feel the energy too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But going back, I know we've got a few minutes left, but I wanted to go back a little bit more into the secret space fleet. And one of the big questions I have is we're talking about these higher dimensional beings. Is the secret space fleet boys, you know, are they in touch with these higher dimensional beings? Or are they just kind of working more in 3D and 4D?
Well, I mean, different. It depends on the compartmentalization aspect. The people that are in control of it, yes, you know, to a degree, but the people working in the programs, they're mostly God and country, and they're doing what they think is right. You know, it's a secret thing that they're proud to be a part of. But the people in the upper echelons, they're working through channeling and connections with other lower density beings that have a worship thing going with negative higher beings. There's some of that going on, but for the most part in the secret space program, at least this alliance that I started working with, when I was first brought in, had a meeting with them, and they had me in a conference, giant like auditorium conference room, and put me on basically the stage. And I was standing there not knowing why I was there. And that was when the blue avians and the golden triangle headed beings that have appeared with them a couple of times appeared behind me and kind of used me as a channel to speak to the room and answer some questions. So that, and they were completely shocked that something like that would exist. Kind of like the reaction I had, you know, there was a tall blue, 8 foot tall blue bird type being when I hadn't seen anything like that when I was in the programs, and they were interrogating just about anything that came in and out of the solar system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes far beyond, you know, I had a colonel call here once and he was telling me, he was saying, why are you spreading all this nonsense and crap about the UFOs and everything else? And he said, you know, you need to stop doing that. And I said, you know, with all due respect, sir, can you spell civilian? You know, I said, you know, it was kind of funny. I was just joking around with him. And then I said, you mean to tell me you're a colonel and you're totally out of the loop on these things, you know? And, it got really quiet, and then he goes, well, we just want to catch one of them, you know, is what he said. And I said, well, you know, in the interest of national security, I think we should be making friends with these guys, considering the fact that they're, you know, millions, if not billions of years ahead of us in evolution and technology. That would probably be the best route to take, you know.
Well, you know what? They tried that. They tried, and we were like trying to weaponize everything that they offered to give us. So yeah, they're not going to give us anything. That's why they want to get one of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's where we have to get beyond, you know, trying to weaponize anything. And we've only got a couple minutes left on the show. Is there anything you want to cover? Is there any major events or things in your schedule, or also give contact information if people want to get a hold of you on some of your latest projects?
Yeah. My YouTube channel is Sphere Being Alliance, as is my Facebook channel. We also have, as you mentioned earlier, dimensionsofdisclosure.com is the large conference that I'm affiliated with that we're doing yearly. And we're happy to have you there. We hope to have some announcements soon about a tour in Australia and other places next year to promote The Cosmic Secret, which is our follow-up to Above Majestic, which was a documentary that was number one on many different platforms for 6 weeks straight. And a lot of people are really looking forward to the new one coming out. And that development of that is well underway. And we're going to show some of that at Dimensions of Disclosure. And there's a lot of things. The graphic novel, things are coming about. Lots of other different media things that we have in the hopper that we hope to announce soon.
Great. And what's the best contact way to, your website, or the best way to contact you about these events?
Man, you just read my mind. That's really weird. SphereBeingAlliance.com and SphereBeingAlliance@gmail.com are the best ways to get a hold of me.
Awesome. Well, we hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. I wish I had a two-hour show, but we've got to sign off. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you at Dimensions of Disclosure.
Yeah, I had fun. Thank you.
All right. Unfortunately, we're out of time, folks. This is James Gilliland with As You Wish Talk Radio, also on the eSETI Stargate channel. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and do the research. Don't listen to the fake news and all the other mainstream crazies out there. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.